Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. This is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire. To me and you, by you. Wanna be real, you wanna be emptied inside, and I know my heart is to feel you near, and I know my life is to do your will, is to do your will. This is my desire.
Special thing each year he loves to go and
You know, all my blessings go to him, and you know, he's talking about all the miracles happening there during the camp meet. He said that a lady that had cancer went there, and she was taking chemo. She lost all of her hair, and she started listening to some of Andrew Womack's DVDs or CDs, something like that, and she started getting the healing. She went up here to this this camp meet, and she had no hair on her body at all because the chemo took it all away. And she said the first camp meet that she went and just sit in, that morning or that night, she started scratching. She was itching all over. It was just a constant itch. She woke up the next morning, she started growing hair on her head and on her arms. And so by the second day, she had almost a half full of hair. So God was doing some miracles there, and so that the cancer is gone and all type of things. So there's more to that story. I don't know all the story, but there's some unique miracles that's happening at that camp meet this week. So we'll keep you in tune next week and tell you a little bit more of what happened. But it's some amazing things going up there this week. And plus, as we know, the Unite Wilmington is going on this weekend, and it's going on for 10 days. So I think tomorrow, the Power and Love, Bob Hazel, he's going to be there tomorrow, and he's going to be there Friday night. He's going to be preaching there at the tent all day, I think, tomorrow, and then Friday night. And then the keyboardist from the Power and Love is going to be there, too. He's going to be playing music for it. So it's going to be amazing. There's all type of amazing things going on there. I've not really got to hear a lot. I saw a lot of things on YouTube that they were showing, but I'm sure, you know, there's an amazing move of the Lord going on there. And have you heard anything about it, Chris, about what's going on down there?
Yeah, man. I actually tuned in on a live Ustream the other day, and, man, it was just incredible, the little bit that I got to see. But I'm just kind of excited because I'm going down Friday and spending the weekend, and they're supposed to be doing some incredible things, feeding people and reaching out to the community and spreading the love of Jesus and praying things in for the region. And I believe those things, like those prayer gatherings and stuff like that, there's so much stuff happens. People get healed. The blueprints of God for your life and stuff like that get released. I mean, but more than anything, it's about Jesus and just honoring God, you know, and worshiping because he's worthy of honor and praise and glory. And he's our bro, you know, and daddy loves us, and I don't know. It's just, to me, it's about really spending time with the Lord and enjoying that time with him. But there's so much stuff happens, like visions, and he speaks to you. And I don't know. It's just always encouraging to me. It really is. But I'm excited because I really believe that this Ignite Wilmington really has an agenda for just igniting the area. You know, there's a lot of talk about the phenomena with the Derek Prince prophecy and stuff too, and I'm excited to see the fulfillment of just the phenomena, you know, that Derek Prince talked about. And I just believe, yep, God's big and he's moving, you know, and I just want to be a part of it, and I'm very honored that he counts me to be, that he'll even use me to be a part of it. I just really appreciate all that he's doing, and I want to be a part of it.
That's cool. Yeah, it's some amazing things. One thing that we do teach on here is, you know, keeping that relationship with the Lord. And one thing that, you know, I really thought that, well, I know that God is with you all the time. He's always there, but I always felt that, you know, when we go to these events, it really helps, you know, it helps. It does help. But the Holy Spirit can touch you in your living room. The Holy Spirit can touch you in your bedroom. He can touch you at your work. It doesn't matter where you are, he can still touch you. He's everywhere at once. So, I mean, there's one thing that the Lord really did, no matter how many people he was preaching to, how many people he was talking to, or if he was just talking to one, no matter what it was, at the end of the day, he always went and had time with the Father. He prayed with the Father. That's one of the main things. You always have time with the Father. And he did that. He canceled. The Father canceled him. I mean, there was times, like, before he was going to be crucified, he cried out, "Abba, Father, Abba, Father, get away from me." He said, "I just, you know, for your will to be done." And his will was for him to go to the cross because he was going to die for all of our sins. But then God the Father sent angels to counsel him and to minister to him. See, even Jesus needed ministry. And even when he was in the desert, you know, when he got tempted, God sent angels after his temptation. God sent angels to minister to him. And I really feel myself after we go through temptations, after we go through trials and things that God is helping us through. I think when all that's done over, I believe that he sends angels to us to minister to us too. I think he has the same, you know, he gives us the same benefits that he did, that he gave Jesus. And I really believe that he sends angels to us too. And I mean, I know my own self. When I'm going through trials and I'm going through situations, I can feel angels coming near me and ministering to me. I'm sure he does to every one of y'all if you just pay it, you know, people just pay attention and get dealt it to the Spirit and feel the Spirit and see what's going on in the Spirit. To get tuned into Spirit is when you've got to stay in prayer. You've got to have a relationship with God to know what's going on. If you never pray and really wait for God to communicate with you, you really never know. It's just when you have a communication with the Lord, that's when you start getting very, you know, you can feel things in the Spirit. Everything's very delicate to you. You're more tuned in than you normally are. Normally, you're dead to the Spirit. A normal man without, you know, having communication with the Lord or even being in Christ is dead to the Spirit. He knows nothing of the Spirit. Even it says in the Word, you know, regular man knows nothing of the Spirit. You can talk to him of things of the Bible and things of Spirit that the Holy Spirit's given you. He will not understand it because his mind is not created to understand it. Only time you can understand it is when you have the Holy Spirit in you things to give you that knowledge, to give you that mind of Christ. When you're in Christ, you have that ability. If you're not in Christ, you don't have that ability. You don't have that ability. So that's the one thing that other people don't understand, not unless you're dealing with the enemy and you're going to be getting off top of things that you really don't want to know about, things you don't want to know. But, you know, when you're in Christ, you're going to know things of God. You're going to know what God is doing, what he's wanting to guide you. And one thing I'm going to tell you is when you're in the Holy Spirit, you get different things given to you to protect you, to keep you away from harm, to keep you away from things. And a lot of people wants God to tell them everything that's perfect, and, you know, but he does warn you, and, you know, stay heed to the warnings that he gives you. But he loves you, you know. Even a father, a human father, he warns his children, you know, don't go near that road. If you do, you're going to get hit by a car, or something bad going to happen to you. Don't go near that interstate, kids. You know, stay over here. Don't get in the middle of the road. How many times have we pulled our kids out from the road on their bicycles and tell them to stay on the sidewalk? You know, we do that as human fathers. How much better is the Heavenly Father going to do for us? You know, he even says that in the Word. So, you know, our Father, God the Father, the same one that Jesus prayed to, the same one that's in Jesus, is here for us. He spent time with the Father. The Father ministered to Jesus. He talked to Jesus. He even sent some of the prophets down. You know, when Jesus was going from glory to glory. You know, the disciples looked up on the hill and saw Moses and some of the, Moses and Abraham, I think, or Isaiah, one of those. And he saw some of the prophets come down from heaven, standing talking to Jesus while God was talking to him. And, you know, that was all the benefits that he was having. Everybody that God had access to, God has access to the whole universe. But the ones that, that was really ministering to Jesus, he allowed his prophets to talk to him. So everybody was up in heaven. The heavens was open to Jesus. When he talked to the Father, the heavens was open. And they would come down from the heavens and talk to him. And the disciples saw this. He saw the heavens open for Jesus. When Jesus went from glory to glory, they saw that too. You know, they said he was in pearly white, and all of a sudden, boom, it went away. And, you know, even Peter now was talking about, hey, I see Moses. Let's pitch these guys a tent where they can come and, you know, spend the night with us. He didn't know that they was going to disappear as soon as Jesus turned around. So, you know, God the Father revealed this to the disciples, what Jesus was. That he was the Son of God, that he was in glory, but they only gave him a sneak peek of what was going to go on. He didn't give him the full blown thing there. He just gave him a sneak peek. They only got a sneak peek of what Jesus really was. They got a sneak peek, and there's a lot of things that was given to them. Even like Peter, he was talking about, you know, who am I? Jesus asked, and he said, you're God's Son. He said, only way you would know that is if the Father put that in you. So nobody would really know that. Back in them days, they didn't know that. They knew he was a prophet, and, you know, he said he was the Son of God and stuff, but really they had to go through all that crucifixion and all that stuff for them to start believing. I mean, it's pretty bad when Jesus is teaching them daily, and they still had a hard time believing. And I'm going to tell you another thing, that when he sent them out to pray for the sick, they still had a hard time believing. And one of that is when, you know, they could cast out some demons because their faith was very weak. Their faith was very weak. Even their faith was weak, and they had to go to the Master. Sometimes our faith is weak. We got to go to the Master. But it was just all type of unique things that we don't understand that the disciples was going through. They went through times of disbelief. I mean, they had the Lord in front of them, and they still had problems believing. I mean, they're seeing Jesus walking on the water, you know, feeding thousands of people with two fish and a loaf of bread. And I mean, all this stuff they were seeing, and they still didn't believe what he was doing. I mean, that's pretty crazy, you know. And we can see him in spirit stuff, and some people get visitations, but he's not in front of us every day, and we still believe. And he also says in the Word, he says, you know, it's good for, he's saying exactly what he said, but in these words, he's like, you know, it's good for those that see me now, but, you know, it's even better for those that haven't seen me but still believe. So he's excited with people that haven't really saw him, but they still believe in him. And that's one amazing thing. You know, we have this belief, you know, and he's there. He's always with us. And when he reveals himself to us, it adds that little extra icing on the cake. Adds that icing on the cake. And it's awesome being a Christian. But one of the main things is that Jesus spent that time with the Father. He got ministered to by the Father. And he was actually revealing to us what we can do. We can go and do the same thing. If Jesus needs prayer time, don't you think you need prayer time? If Jesus needed to spend half a night praying on things that was going on in his life, don't you think that we need prayer time to pray for things going on in our life? If our Master needs to pray, I think we need to pray too. And, you know, he just kept that pure communication with the Father. The Father knew everything. I mean, he spent hours up on the hill. The disciples said he would go up on top of a mountain, and he spent all night just talking to the Father on top of the mountain. He loved the Father that much. He just spent time and time and time speaking to the Father. And there's some Christians that do that, and there's some that goes to the church and they only pray at church during when the preacher's speaking, and that's it. And that's good for them. But no, the Christian life is a constant communication with the Lord. Constant communication. I mean, in relationship with Christ. You deal with him daily. He helps you get through things daily. And when you start, and I was listening to 106.5, and I listen to it a lot while I work, and I listen to a lot of the ministers on there, and they've got a lot of things to say. And they were saying when you're going through trials in your life, white knuckles, and you're fighting, and you're fighting, and fighting, and fighting, and you're a Christian, most likely you don't have that place for a prayer life. You ain't staying in God's glory, because when you pray and you stay in the presence of God, you're staying underneath his glory, and that glory and that grace is what helps redo you. So when you speak to God, all that benefits come to you. Staying in communication with him, all the benefits come to you, and that grace starts working out them problems that you have. And how you can kind of tell when you're not staying in your prayer life and you're not getting in the Word is when things do fall loose. And sometimes God will give you them things to show you what you need, to see how strong you are. Because, as we know, all fathers then test your children. You know, that they're going to show, you know, he's going to let you see where you are. I mean, that's the way it is. But one thing that I understood myself, even in my life, is that when I got in prayer and I would stay praying in tongues about a situation, I've always saw God work through it. He would work through me. And I know when I would get into a situation that bothered me tremendously, I would feel his ministering in my heart. I would feel peace come over me, like he would only allow so much happen to me, and he'd bring peace over me. Now, before I was a Christian, that wouldn't have happened. I would have just kept on dealing with it. Being in the body of Christ, that stopped. The peace came over me. Christ would come and start ministering to me, and he would show things. And the coolest thing about having a relationship with the Lord is that he will bring things to you. It could be a Christian show. You can be listening to a minister at church, at your church, could be saying something that would ring a bell when they say something. You're like, man, I needed that today. That's God's Holy Spirit speaking through your minister. It could be a Holy Spirit speaking through a minister on TV, whatever you run into. But he's going to speak to you. He's going to communicate what's going on. And I can't tell you how many teachings I've listened on the radio that would ring my bell all morning long what I was needing. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit would come and show me things. Mentally, it wouldn't be out in the open, but mentally, what I need to work on. And I like that. I like to get my chain pulled every once in a while, let me know what I need to work on. And, you know, I mean, I can't tell you how much God cares about you. And I got a word of knowledge for a coworker the other day, and the Lord told me, he's like, people don't know how much God loves you, how much he pays attention to you, how much he wants to do for you. He cares about your work. He cares about your relationship. He cares about your children. He even cares about your pet. He cares about your house. He cares about your bills. He cares about your car. He cares about everything of their children. Now, when you have kids and they grow old and they get married, you still care as a parent. You still care about their family. You care what happens in their family. You care about their finances. You want them to have the best. You want them to have the best, okay? He cares about you that much. He cares about you the same, and even more, because he's the Heavenly Father of the universe. He loves you, created you. Part of you came from him. I mean, all that good stuff. He cares about everything about you. The thing of it is, you don't believe that. You don't believe that because churches have told you you don't. You've got to do the hokey-pokey and jump around before God to even see you. You just say special prayers. And then you're not really sure, but God loves you. He loves you so much, he sent his one and only son to die for you. He loves you that much. He wants to bring you to his flock, okay? He cares a lot about you. He did a lot for you. I'm going to hand this over to Chris, because I'll be here all day long. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I just think about, when I think about the Father and the love and love one to another, I just think about how that's a commitment and how that, I always think about John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe on him should not, or whoever would believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I just think about how he actually took the person that meant the most to him and sent him on our behalf because he loved us. And really, I think that's a good revelation to get a hold of, is that the Father loves you and is able to keep you way more than the devil is able to deceive you. And really, as you walk in Christianity, I think it just, I think of that scripture that says, "The yoke, my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I just think about how, like, the more we simplify things, the more it's like, because I almost feel you can get into this place of just aggression, I guess. And that's good at times, but it's like you always want to enter into the rest of Christ and enter into that peace and just really partake of his love, you know, because I believe that more than anything, that the gospel is about what Jesus did for us more so than it is what we do for Jesus. Because in all actuality, what you do for him is by the grace of God anyway, because all your abilities and all your strengths and everything, it's sourced in the Father anyway. And all you are is by the grace of God. But I also think about scriptures like the Father draws us. You know, there's scriptures talking about it's the Father that draws us. Or like when Jesus told, asked Peter, he said, "Who am I?" And Peter said that you're the Messiah, the Son of God. And he said, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father which are in heaven." You know, and it's like, I really believe that he draws us to him. And I think a lot of prayer and stuff like that calls him to move quicker too in situations. But, you know, it's just a great honor to me to walk in Christ and walk. I mean, like, I can't imagine doing life another way. You know what I mean? I just think about the times where I was wild and crazy and just, you know, I mean, that lifestyle ends tragically a lot of times, you know. There's been friends of mine time and time again, I mean, that sadly ended overdoses or something like that, which I wasn't really big in. I mean, like, I didn't do a whole lot of wild and crazy things. I drank stuff. I mean, drank and stuff like that, but I never got highly into drugs like some of my friends did. And sad to say, there's a couple of them overdosed and ended their lives early. And really, that's the thing that the devil tries to get you to feel low about yourself. And, you know, he just really wants you to get discouraged with life. And I mean, the Father, he just doesn't want you to live that way. He wants you to know that you're loved and know that, and really getting in his presence and getting in his word and stuff like that, man, you experience his love. You know, it's, you realize what life's all about when you get in his presence and you experience God. And you see God for who he is, it's like you really begin to understand what life's about and what is the purpose of life. And it's amazing to me. I just appreciate him so much pouring out his life. as well. Thinking about in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this, the love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So I think that it's in experiencing God's love and who he is to us that we're able to reach out and to love people and to really genuinely want the best for others. And really, I mean, there is sacrifice involved and stuff like that, but I really believe that a lot of times that shows your love to the Father, is you sacrificing and you laying down your life, you know, and you doing, I mean, that's the first two commandments wrapped up. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your understanding, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you see needs, then it's like, I really believe that the Lord prompts your heart strongly too in needs, because you can't answer every need. But I really believe that the things that really touch your heart and really pull on your heart are the things that the Father's leading you to do. You know, and I think you ought to pay attention to those things that are, I mean, you know, and I really believe in following the word too. Like that you can go too wrong following the word of God and reaching out to people. But I do like to have that, like, passion feeling, pulling in my heart.
Amen.
But
amen.
I can think of a situation where, it's kind of wild, actually two come to mind, but there was one situation where I was giving this guy a ride to work, and he, like, I had a little check on my heart about it, and I was like, God, what's that about, you know? And he was showing me, look, this guy's motives aren't very pure. But, I mean, he wasn't saying don't give him a ride or anything, but he was saying, you know, his intentions, you know, he ain't trying to do anything for himself. He's kind of looking for a handout, you know, and the Lord was kind of letting me know that. But it turned into a, kind of a situation where he was really wanting me to pick him up all the time, drop him off all the time. So, you know, it's kind of wild that the Lord was showing me that ahead of time. But sometimes when you help out people, then they want to take advantage of you and stuff like that. And I really believe that the Lord kind of keys you in and clues you in on that stuff too. And in that situation, if you don't inquire the Lord though, sometimes when you have those little flags, or I call them red flags or whatever, that come up in your heart, but it's really the Lord just popped in your heart, letting you know that, hey man, there's something going on. And the more you pray about it and you just kind of commune with him, fellowship with him, you kind of understand what that's about.
Yeah.
And, anyway, I just thought I'd share that.
That's awesome. I know one of the biggest things that I really think that Jesus did when he had his relationship, well, he always had a relationship with the Father, but when he revealed his relationship with the Father, is that some of the Pharisees at the time, when they would talk to God, it was more in celebration. It was more in their religious ceremonies. It was more, it's more of a ceremony thing. They'd only do it at certain times. They'd only do it at the feast. They'd only do it at the tabernacle. And they talked like he's a far-off person, or like he's a far-off being. And it was more of a ceremonial thing. It wasn't a personal relationship with God. They didn't have a personal relationship. It was like they would speak to him and then run. Or they would send somebody in there. They were scared to have a relationship with him. And they didn't have a relationship with him like Moses did. The Father was a good friend to Moses, and Moses was a good friend to the father. There was a lot of benefits to that. There was many of them, you know, that had that relationship with the father, but Jesus had the best and the closest relationship, and he would speak to him all the time, just like he was there, which he was there. And what was so awesome when Jesus spoke, you know, he was amongst the crowd there, and they brought some Roman citizens in there that's wanting to see Jesus, and they was wanting to talk to Jesus, and he didn't really have much time to talk, so, you know, he went and said, "Father, let your glory be known," and all of a sudden it said it thundered, it lightened, and, you know, and the Lord and the Father talked. So, you know, he had such a close relationship with the Father that he would speak back to him. He would talk back to him. God, I mean, many times when the disciples saw him, God would talk back to them when they would see him talking to God. God would say, "This is my son. I'm my beloved son. You know, listen to him. So God was only talking to Jesus. He would talk to the people around him when they would run into him when he was talking to him. So, you know, the Father had a real close relationship with him. He spoke to him all the time. I mean, like person to person. It wasn't like he was in a meditation. It was like out loud. He would talk to him. He would have that. I mean, when people will think about this, even the Word of God kind of indicates you how his relationship. He would talk out loud to him. And a lot of times God would talk out loud to him. It wasn't like a mental thing, like, "God, what you want," and they'd get a sign or a symbol, whatnot. Like, yeah, he spoke out loud to him. And he would hear it, and he would speak back. And then, you know, he would show it during his walk with the disciples. He would speak out. God would reply back. It wouldn't, you know, we'll wait 3 days for God to reply. He did it right then and there. He would reveal that he was with him all the time. And he had that relationship. But one thing that Christ brought to the table was that he had a life relationship with God. It wasn't a ceremony. It wasn't a celebration. It was a day-on-day relationship with the Father. He spoke to him all the time. He had that constant relationship. And he showed how it was to have a relationship with the Father. He was walking in relationship with him all the time, as we are now through him dying on the cross. He by believers, we have been given that relationship with the Father as Jesus has. And that's one thing that, you know, we don't understand that. Now, Jesus is our mediator. He mediates for us. But he connected us. I really feel he connected us with the Father through his blood. We're connected now. We have the same access. So, you know, we have that connection just like he does now. But when you never see a Christian, you never see us going and saying, "Father," you know, in Jesus' name, "Father, thank you," just having that long conversation. You don't see most Christians doing that. It's more, "Father," you know, or having, you know, it's kind of like a ritual thing. You don't really see a lot of them having a straight communication. You'll see some Christians that do that, and some don't. But that's one of our biggest things. Have a relationship with him. Talk to him. Talk to the Lord. Have that relationship, and when you do that, you bring them closer, and you start knowing them more, and they reveal more things to you. Stick in the Word of God. You know, he's going to show you things. One thing that I do know myself is when I would pray, and I pray to the Lord, I'll pray in tongues, and all of a sudden I'll go to the Word of God, and before you know it, the Bible comes alive for me. It's just like he starts speaking to me. He'll take me to different pages, and all of a sudden, it'd be just like he's speaking to me, and he does speak inside of me. He's not only speaking, the Word of God speaks to you, but he speaks in my heart too, and I get downloads and all that good stuff that, you know, some, you know, prophets get. But, you know, it's just having that communication. Have that communication, and that's what you need. And the more you have that communication, the more he talks to you, the more he'll guide you. But if you only talk to him at church, I don't know whether that communication is going to be very clear to you, because, you know, if you have a water hose and you only turn it on once a year, how good is that water hose going to work? It's not going to work that good. So you got to constantly use it to have that have that communication going on there. So, you know, you got to keep on praying and talking to him. And the more you talk to him, and all of a sudden you might have a great big old a word of knowledge come to you. You might hear the Father speak to you out loud. I mean, who knows what he'll do for you? I mean, everybody's different. I mean, everybody has a communication different. You know, we all, he communicates to us all differently. I mean, to me, you know, I see visions. I see different things during the day. Some people have dreams. Some people hears him out loud. I mean, everybody talks, you know, is talked to differently. Because some people, if they would hear God out loud, they might pass out and fall down or something because it might scare them. And some people, that would be cool. They would be, that's cool. But he knows you. He knows how to talk to you. He knows how to communicate with you. And he will in his own way. And the only way you will know is the more that you communicate with him. He will build that connection with you. I know Chris has probably even found this out himself. The more you communicate with him, the more you get used to him, the more you understand how he talks to you. Is that how he works with you, Chris?
Well, I mean, with me, I'll get a lot of promptings, but I try to, like, my goal is to pray without ceasing. Like, I simply, like, that's from the time I started walking with the Lord, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that was just phenomenal. I mean, and I asked the Lord, please don't ever let that grow to a place where it's like a commonality to me, and I kind of neglect the, I just always want to reverence his presence and his promptings and his voice. And I mean, that's so made my relationship to him so much more alive when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit that, I mean, like, every time I enter worship, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I feel the little tingling in his presence and in my hands and stuff like that. And that was, like, it still is awesome, you know. But, I asked the Lord when that happened. I said, Father, please don't ever let me, like, dishonor your presence and what you did for me. And coming to live inside of me, you know, in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that he will make his home or his abode in your heart, and I and the Father will live in your heart. And it also says in John 10:30 that I and the Father are one. Jesus said that, you know. And then in John 17, he prays that we be one as the Father and I are one. And not only as disciples and stuff like that and the people, but all of those that come after that will hear me. He prays that we become one. So I really think that oneness with God is his desire. And the more that you dedicate and consecrate yourself, the more that oneness is established. And that, I mean, the Bible says that no one can serve two masters, you know, and where you give your attention and stuff like that. I really believe that by focus, by faith, it's like you stay in him, you know. And I think about Psalm 91 where it says, because you have made God your habitation. You know, it says in Psalm 91, and he's got all these promises that no evil will befall you. And, I mean, he said 1,000 will fall at your left, 1,000 maybe at your right, but no harm will come upon you. And it's like when you really stand in the Lord, and it said, unless you dash your foot against the stone. So there is some responsibility there. And, abiding in him, and I try to simplify that there and just inquire of him constantly and really just look and place my affections and my attentions and my inquiries upon him about things. And I believe that's where you see the expression of his love towards you. I really believe that, because he desires the very best for you, and he desires for you to be the head and not the tail, and blessed when you come and blessed when you go. And I really believe that. And I also believe that you partake, those that partake of the glory also partake of his suffering. So, you know, you're going to have the persecutions and stuff like that. But, I mean, one thing I know is it's always better to go in a cave looking for gold than to go in a cave looking for dirt, because you're always going to find dirt.
Amen.
And if you focus on the positive things, the optimism, and you have optimism, and I think it's just like in his presence that stuff is kind of grows, because that's the nature of God, is love. And I believe that, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all that stuff. I think that stuff is imparted to you in prayer and in his presence and in seeking after him and seeking his face and that kind of stuff, and worship, you know, it's kind of, there's such a transpirance takes place in worship and in the times with the Lord and honoring God that, I mean, we kind of tend to overlook that stuff sometimes, but it's just a response to him, you know, and as you respond to God, he responds to you. It's almost like, it's just life, you know. It's such an abundant life that it's interactive on both sides, and you really see it. And the more that you fixate your eyes or your gaze on him, the more that you see his involvement in your life, whether it's really, really supernatural or if it's subtle. I mean, like, you'll see his hand moving on your behalf, but one of the keys is to really keep your attention and in the eyes of your understanding focused. But,
Amen.
That's good stuff.
That's awesome. At this time, anybody that has any illnesses or has any pain, has any sickness, I ask you to just place your hand where that sickness is. If you got, you know, a hurt leg, a hurt arm, anywhere where you have pain, just place your hand right there at this time. We're going to do a healing prayer for everybody. Okay, I'm just going to give you just a little bit. There you go. Now, in Jesus' name, in the power of the Holy Spirit, I command life to those arms. I command life to stomachs. I command life to those legs. I command life to those jaws. I command life to their ears. I command Holy Spirit, go through and repair anything that's in their bones, in their muscles. I command all of it to be repaired and restored now in Jesus' name. I command bones to be made whole. I command muscles to be made whole. I command tendons to be made whole. I command backs to be made whole. I command spines to be made whole. I command discs in the back to be made whole. I command spinal fluid to be flushed and be made whole now in Jesus' name. I command any demonic spirit of depression to leave. I bind you, rebuke you in Jesus' name. I command you to go to the abyss now in Jesus' name. I command spirit of infirmity. I bind you and rebuke you in Jesus' name. I command you to leave them now in Jesus' name. I command you to flee now in Jesus' name. I command any demonic spirits that's hanging around these people, if they've been hearing voices, I command them spirits to go now. I rebuke you and I bind you. I command you to leave their household. I command you to leave them now in Jesus' name. I bind you, rebuke you, and command you to flee now and go to the abyss now in Jesus' name. I command you to go to the abyss and you never return in Jesus' name. I command peace upon these people. if there's any cancer, I curse that cancer at the root and at the seed, and I command it to disintegrate in Jesus' name. I command you to die, cancer. Spirit of cancer, I bind you, rebuke you, and command you to flee. I command you to go to the abyss now. In Jesus' name, I command you to leave their stomach, leave their intestines. I command you to go to the abyss now. I command life over their stomachs. I command life over their surgeries. I command life upon them now in Jesus' holy name. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come upon them in power. Just fill them up wherever these things are, wherever their illness was. Just come and fill them up from the bottom of their feet to the top of their heads. Just fill them up now in Jesus' name. Just fill them completely up. Fill them up. Fill them up. Thank you, Lord. Just fill them up with your power. Fill them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Just fill them up, Lord. Fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just fill them up. And so it is. And at this time, anybody that has not accepted the Lord, we're going to give you a chance to accept the Lord right now. Just repeat after me. Just say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I
accept you died on the cross for me.
And I accept that you rose on the third day for me.
I accept that you rose on the third day for me.
I hand all my sins and trespasses to you, Lord.
I hand all my sins and trespasses to you, Lord.
And I accept you in my heart for eternity.
I accept you in my heart for eternity.
In Jesus' name, and so it is. You just said this prayer, so Lord.
Hallelujah.
If you just said this prayer, Lord Jesus has just came into your heart. Welcome to the family, and get connected in a nearby church, get baptized, and stick in the Word. Get to a good Bible believing church and get started. And stay tuned to us, and we'll teach you the Word of God and lead you in the right way. And I'm just going to tell everybody this Saturday we're going to have Doug Perry on from Liberty in Missouri. He has a unique ministry. He takes people in and with the Word of God, he straightens them out, he helps them. And takes them in, lets them live at liberty for a while and gets them on their feet, and then they go back out into the world, or, you know, they stay and minister with them. I mean, however, you know, the person, whatever the person needs to do in his life. But he has a unique ministry. He prays deliverance. He helps a lot of different people out. He helps a lot of ministries out. He's just a unique guy all the way around. He has a big ministry on YouTube where he prays and talks about the Word of God and what God does and how God works in his life, and he has a real unique testimony. He even talks about how God taught his daughter how to read within a night. It's just unique things God can do. And he was just letting him know that, you know, you'll hear more of his story when you listen to the show Saturday at 9:30, but it's very unique, and it's a real eye-opener. You know, one man that has everything, he gives everything up to walk with the Lord. And he has a real unique testimony. It's going to be a treat to us all to hear his testimony, and I'm sure it's going to touch a lot of people. But, Chris, it's good to have you on here, as always.
Oh, man, it's a delight. It's a delight.
Yeah,
I enjoy it.
We have a good time on the show every Wednesday night, and Robert should be back on next Wednesday, and it's going to be exciting. We're going to come up with something good again next Wednesday, so just stay tuned, and we'll see you all Saturday morning. God bless every one of you.